the AI might give you references that don't exist. So you find they are quoting Revelations 34, verse 6. That doesn't exist. Yeah.
Mike, I know you had a question for the doctor.
Actually, one of our listeners, a friend of mine, her name's Jessica. She's a mental health professional that works for a county out here in California. Her background is dealing with battered women and children, the homeless, and in particular, she's dealing with a lot of the veterans that have mental health issues. And yes, it looks like you've already kind of answered the question, but I'm going to throw it back out there. She says she's enjoying the commentary greatly, and her question was, can nutritional value affect the mental health? And going on, she says, does GMOs and processed food play up into the decline of mental health? And I think you've already answered that, she says. And I want to follow up on something that Dr. Sims, I think she touched on briefly, was how much does media, social media, television, how much does that play into convincing people that they've got a problem that maybe they really don't have? Because you've got all these ads on TV saying, oh, you need to check with your doctor, check with your doctor. Right. And my problem with it, and I may be the worst person to have on this show for mental health, by the way. But my problem is following the money here. How much do pharmaceutical companies and doctors push, take a pill, take a pill. Oh, this will solve all your problems. Take a pill. When really a lot of the issues are maybe lack of proper learning as a child how to deal with stress in your life and giving you good skills to grow up as an adult and learn how to deal with these things without taking a pill, without becoming mentally ill, because you never learn the skills to deal with these things. So if you want to touch on the GMOs and dietary one more time and then go into how much media plays into convincing people that they're ill when they're not.
Yes, I mean, the first question I think we touched on earlier, I wouldn't want to belabor the GMO question, but I'll say just the food in general, the quality of our food in general is in decline. And we need to do things about all the pesticides and weedicides and stuff that we put in our food, and also even the distance we carry them over, Let's pick our apples, in our county and eat them within the county. We don't need to bring fruits from all over the world to our grocery store. Let's pick them when they're ripe and not when they're unripe and we're shipping them and freezing them. And, that's a lot of cost to the environment to get those fruits to us sometimes. And the problem with GMO really is more like we don't know what they're going to cost. It's not that they're causing any particular problem, but we most of the time we don't know what they're going to cause. We don't have enough data to come up with, are they harmful or not?
Well, I think part of the GMO issue is that they don't believe like the nutrition that we once had in our produce and such doesn't exist anymore because GMOs have kind of suck the nutritional value out of the produce and such that we do eat. So I think that's the major argument against GMOs. I'm not sure. I'm not an expert on it.
Right. But, what they do is sometimes what makes people really concerned is when they bring genetic materials from non-plants into the plant. Right. So they bring something from an eel or something and insert it into a mango. Well, that's not natural. That's not the way things happen. Whereas if you were just doing the old hybrid thing, right, they find different cultivars of mango till they get to till they get the best one. Well, that's more acceptable to people. And most people will not call them GMOs. Is when you bring an extraneous genetic material into a particular plant, and then we don't know what that's going to cost. There's no data to tell us if it's harmful or not, and we shouldn't just pass it on into the food chain without more caution. Now, on the issue of social media, I think social media and then general media. Social media, I think things like Facebook and Twitter and all of that, I think they cause us a lot of mental stress.
Anxiety.
Yeah. Why do I need to care that my friend checked into a hotel in Dubai?
Right.
Or a restaurant in Australia? Then I'm feeling, what kind of horrible life am I living? I'm just here working, and he's having fun on the beach in Dubai. Well, he didn't put there how much credit he took to make the trip. He didn't tell me when he came back how much he's paying back to the bank for that trip. But all I'm seeing is the happy times, the pictures back on Instagram from, some fancy holiday in Paris. Well, that's the problem. Then I'm feeling, what kind of life am I living? And this affects teenagers a lot, especially female teenagers. You see their friends living very flashy, interesting, happy lives on Instagram. Mm. And they can match up to that level. And adolescents in general want to belong. And that gives them a lot of stress. I think for adults, generally are able to say, turn out, phase up and say, oh, okay, he's having fun, that's right. I'll save up, I'll do that next year too. But for teenagers, it's a lot of mental stress that even affects them in school and all that.
So do you, I'm sorry to interrupt you, sir. So do you think that if people actually learned good life skills in dealing with life in general, whether it's stress or something else, do you think a lot of this mental health issue would go away or at least diminish?
Yes, in many ways. That they, even the Surgeon General recently was in the media talking about loneliness, right? People just don't have communities around them anymore. So you find, and that was even worsened by the coronavirus lockdowns, that people were so isolated. And we as human beings, we need a community around us. That when you have problems, you can talk to your cousins, your aunt, your parents, your tight friends, and so on. But some of the ways in which our lives are evolving, we don't see them anymore. So now you have all these virtual friends online. You meet them on Twitter, and you're both arguing about something there, and so they become, virtual acquaintances. But when you're in crisis, they're not there to help. The quality of support is not the same, right? If you recently out of the hospital, well, you want someone to come to your door and bring you something to eat, so you don't have to cook. You want someone to help clean the house. Well, a virtual friend on Twitter or Instagram is not there to do that. So the quality of those relationships are not that good as compared to the olden days when you had your neighbors coming to knock on your door and you have a community around you.
Now the social interaction, right?
Right. And then so the media and the pharmaceutical industry have a stake in making us buy more drugs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they advertise, they tell us to go get this. I mean, there's the whole Ozempic thing now with everybody wants to be on Ozempic for some reason or the other. Well, it's unhealthy. That we have to have all that in the media all the time, pushing us to do those things or get on drugs. Wow. I think there are other ways that we can develop our skills to deal with our emotional problems and social problems before they become psychiatric problems.
Hmm. Amazing. Doctor, I was listening in the background here, and there are some very interesting questions, great questions from all of the panel here. And there's so many different questions. So I'm sure We only have 40 minutes left in this broadcast. And so we're going to ask you to come back because there's so many things. But I wanted to touch on this and talk about our children a little bit and the role that social media plays into them making some wrong decisions. Based on, and because of social media, in some cases, in a lot of cases, too many, our kids have committed suicide because somebody went on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, whatever it is, posted something horrible about them. And you have to understand, but the audience has to understand that our kids are vulnerable, you know, and bullying and a lot of things that goes on with social media and things like this, it is really harming our children. And not only that, we have legislators that are paid high salaries in Washington, D.C. that are promulgating and pushing fear. There's a fear context.
Yes.
And there's too much of that going on. And it caused divisiveness. It caused hostility. You're pitting one group against the other. You know, I'm thinking about this old thing, divide and conquer. And we understand that their gender is not good for anyone. But let's get back to our children for a second and how social media plays into them making some wrong decisions and even causing their own demise.
I mean, if I had a magic wand, I'll prevent anybody under 18 from being on social media. But I know it's not possible. But I think as parents, we need to be more alert to what our kids are seeing and reading on social media and how it's affecting them on a daily basis. One, they see things that sometimes they are not ready for. Mm. And if you're not close to your kids enough that they can come to you with things that they're seeing, then a problem might be festering. A problem might be festering before you know it.
Amazing.
By design, all teenagers want to belong to a group.
Mm.
And they see their parents as old and outdated. And they want to embrace new ideas.
Mm-hmm.
It's not pathological. That's the way they're designed. That's just what it is. We want our kids to be independent, to have an independent mind. Well, that's when they begin to show it. So they tend to be a little bit rebellious. You tell them to do this. Why should I do that? So you then have to negotiate and, you know, discuss it.
Mm.
Well, we have to be the ideal parent to them, not a friend to them.
Right.
We have to be the ideal parent who says, sit down over there and let's talk. Shut that phone down. No phone on the dining table. No device in your bedroom. Just put that thing over there, shut it down, you know, and, you know, if you don't, then I'm going to take the phone from you. I'm going to cut it off from you. I mean, we have to put boundaries around this device, these devices that they carry around. And, you know, if you're a straight A student, before I give you a phone, and then you're now dropping to your B's and C's, and then you need to give them back the phone. Because that means the phone is causing you trouble, right? So we draw the phone. But some parents just say, just have it and do whatever you want to do with it. No.
No.
There's a lot of harm that can come to kids on social media.
Absolutely.
And most of it is, I mean, they have all these things they call challenges. You know, sometimes they go drink some kind of alcohol challenge or whatever challenge. They have, almost every week there's a new one. And we see them in the hospital all the time when they come and say, why would you do that? Well, I was just doing a challenge. Come on.
Come on, man. A challenge, yeah. You know, and those, some of those challenges are extremely, extremely dangerous. There was a NyQuil challenge one time where they had this thing, on YouTube, and it was teaching you how to, cook chicken in NyQuil. And, you know, people were doing this thing, and people are doing there's so many different dangerous things going on here. We had a former president that talked about injecting bleach. Now, wait a minute, hold it. If I were to vote for you, you just lost my vote. You know, think about this. This is how insane it is. And, you know, people will fall for a lot of different things, and it makes absolutely no sense. And the influence that social media has on our children, folks, don't be naive about this. And you're right, Doctor. You know, we need to monitor and find out exactly what our kids are doing. Tell you a quick story. A friend of mine back in California had this daughter, and she thought she was smarter than anyone in the house. And she and the parents wanted to monitor her and say, well, what are you watching on your computer? What are you watching on your phone? And so she decided to lock the door. Well, the dad decided, well, he wasn't going to have it, so he took the door off. He took the door off. That's parenting, folks. You can't just, well, you know, kids going to be kids, let them do their thing and stuff like that. You cannot do that. Something else I want to discuss, too, is that how much the so-called leadership in this country has to do and contribute to mental illness, stress, anxiety. Dr. Dimmer took my my question because I had something about AI here too, artificial intelligence, and something you said about that as well, about artificial intelligence, you know, is that when we lose the skills to be able to do things, if there's no AI, then when AI is gone, then we don't know how to function anymore. Growing up, the most on this panel, I don't know about you, Doctor, okay? Most of us, we didn't have computers growing up. We didn't have smartphones, right? I mean, I could have passed a whole lot of exams if I had a smartphone, okay? Well, think about this. Probably been a straight-A student. But the thing about it is when we lose the ability to learn how to survive, and I think that's what we're talking about, okay? Being able to survive without a computer, being able to survive without a smartphone, be able to survive without a TV or all these other devices, you know?
Life skills.
Indeed.
Basic life skills that they don't teach anymore.
Right. And when we don't have these skills and then we fall, and I'm not going to say, well, I guess we made ourselves victims of this, Doctor, then it can cause some mental challenges. Would you agree or not?
Oh, most definitely. I mean, I have a personal story with I have twin boys. They are just out of college now. But when they were, I think they must have been in middle school, one of the twins came and said, Dad, this was his exact words, Dad, what must I do? And I said, what do you mean? He said, I don't know what to do. I said, go and sleep, go get a book. He said, I've read all the books now. What must I do? I said, what do you mean by that? Even the way he phrased the question was weird. What must I do? And I said, well, because their mom was into kids learning everything. So they had Mandarin lessons, Spanish lessons, karate, that every waking moment was scheduled. Then I had to then advocate for them and said, no. Kids must have time to play. Mm. They must have free time when they can do just about anything they want. If you have it all scripted throughout the day, when do you want them to think for themselves? Mm. So we have to let kids think for themselves. So that it's almost like you set a good boundary around them. And say, you know, once you finish your homework, you finished your book reports, you cleaned your room, blah, 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 you have your free time. to do whatever you want. You can go and draw, you can paint, you can play with your toys, you can do computer games if you want. But we shouldn't script every waking moment. So I had to fight strongly for them. Take that Mandarin class out. They don't need it. In future, they can go learn Mandarin if they really want it. But it's enough with Spanish, then that's it. No more Spanish, Mandarin, and karate, and basketball class, and all of that. Throughout the week, everything scripted. And that made a huge difference to their lives, because now they felt happier. They slept better. They had more fun at home.
Absolutely.
Than just being bossed around from one program to the other.
Right. You know, there's an old adage, work hard, then you can play hard, okay? But work first.
Right.
You have to earn the time. Danny is leaning forward. So, Danny, you have a question or comment?
More of a statement when we go back, I'm backing up to the parenting thing. The parenting, because Reverend Demery mentioned we're old school, and we're old school because we are old.
Speak for thanks, Danny, for pointing that out, buddy. Appreciate the hell out of that.
Yeah, speak for yourself, Danny. Okay.
Who invited you?
Wait a minute, Dr. Demery, you better stay away from the book. Talking about some of us are worse older than others. Whatever. I'm not up there by myself. Stop laughing, William.
But the statement I would like to make, that it seems from my observation that in order to get your children in order, you can't allow social media and television to train them.
The children. Come on.
That has been the problem that I've observed, that many of the old school teachings and the foundations that were laid in me and many other my age, many others my age, it's not happening today. And we have a lot of mentally disordered people working in the government and the state legislature. These people are mentally disturbed.
Yep. Thank you.
So until we can, to raise a child, it's like that lump of clay. As long as it's nice and soft, you can take your hand and mold it and shape it just like you want. But once that clay dries, this is an adage that I always use, in order to shape it the way that you would desire it to be, you got to take a hammer and chisel. Nice. Just think about taking a hammer and chisel and as a symbol of how you're trying to deal with the child. You let wax become dry and hard, and now you're trying to shape them. It's a lot harder that way. So you got to get them when they're really young.
I totally agree. I think all that is actually backed up by science. That you cannot let them... You know, there's this whole idea of free grazing that some parents do now. They just allow the kids to do anything they want. Mm-hmm. Say, I want to wear a skirt to school today. Okay, wear the skirt. I want to wear a shirt to school tomorrow. Okay, that's what you want. That's how you feel. You can do anything you want. Well, that's not normal.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be guidelines. Kids have to be raised. They're not just, they can't raise themselves. Yeah.
You know, it's funny.
The other day, they were having a case where this woman was on there talking that her 14-year-old child told her that she, even though she has female organs, that she was a man. And the parent was willing to accept that from the 14-year-old child.
You know, it's funny that you guys are saying, Eric, because I made notes before today, and here's my notes. You'll like this a lot.
affects your brain, it's going to affect your body. I don't care what anybody says. You're in depression, your body is going to get affected. I am a witness, okay? So I don't care what they put in the medical books. I'm a witness that when I think myself happy and when I start redirecting and unbrainwashing myself, this is what I'm, the terminology I use, unbrainwashing myself from the negative that I see visual or that people talk to me, then my world becomes a better place. I know what to stay away from. And if I get enough sleep, I look better. Does that make sense? Okay. Mm-hmm. I can tell somebody who hasn't rested. I can tell somebody who hasn't, who's in depression, because I've been there, done that. And many of the people that I've had the privilege of, I call it ministering, but counseling with. So adults sometimes can be the hardest person to realize what they need to do. I feel like if the adults get right in the home, many cases, not everybody, but some is all right. But in most cases, if some of the adult thinking change, then their children will change. Because if an adult is messed up, they really can't help the child. The child will be the very replica of the adult, because it's in the atmosphere. Now, I wanted to read something, and it talked about mental health decline. I'm being Ann today, William, okay? Following factors could potentially result in a period of poor mental health, childhood abuse, trauma, or neglect, social isolation, loneliness, experience, discrimination, and stigma. I happened to see a young man on the news, and he was out on the street. He just broke mentally, and it had nothing to do with the medication that was on. His stigma was he's tired of what's going on in society and that he had enough, and it caused him mental duress. And so he had a psychotic episode because of what is happening in society and what we're being fed on the news media. A lot of times we can't watch this stuff because it causes you where you have insomnia. You cannot sleep. You don't eat right, okay, because of what you're being fed. And so when I look at that, and then I found some statistics because I was looking for, because I'm a kind of person, I need you to show me, okay? And maybe I shouldn't be that way, but it is what it is. And it talked about 58% of the American population does not seek out, okay, mental health specialists or therapy. Yes, they don't. So the demographics of the statistics that are given are false, because a lot of them are not seeking that because they're feeling like, all, and we all been talking about this, is pushing appeal, okay? Mm-hmm. That's going to be the save all, solve all problems. And that is not the case, because it's an emotional thing that people need to deal with emotionally. So they're saying that it was about 18 million of the American population, that demographic, it says 58%, but it rounds off to being 18 million. And Montana is the first number one on that issue with that problem. And so yes, we have to deal with our children, but if we give therapy to our children, they go home to parents who need more therapy than they do. More therapy than they do.
Nailed it.
To me, that they, we are fighting against a lost cause, because that's where the depression, the insomnia, the abandonment comes from. If you have irresponsible, and then you have some teachers that are crazy, okay? You have some politicians most of them sit there in the schools, will let the child do, just throw them a piece of paper and just do your thing, because they don't care, because they've been beat down. I had a neighbor who passed away. She called me. She said, Cecilia, have you been watching the news? She was so depressed. She was overwhelmed. I said, if you don't turn that foolishness off, it will keep you up at night, because this is something beyond our control. And my scripture is, as a man thinketh, so is he. I can think myself happy. You know, I can take all the medication. And yes, some medication help, but most times they don't, because it's in here. I have to change in here. And what helps me do that? I have to unbrainwash myself from what's been fed to me, from what's being done to me, and things like that. Yes, I need the help. But when you have a doctor, y'all talked about doctors. When you have a doctor tells you that I get in trouble if you don't take these pills, that lets me know
It's about a money thing. It's not really about solving my issue, solving my pain. Because if I
tell them
the effect that is causing me, and she gets mad at me, but I'm going to test you in this, speak into my spirit. Oh, you don't come in like the rest of them. They have heartaches. They have big knees hurting. I said, you're not going to speak that into my spirit. It is spiritual. Okay. I cannot separate it. I won't separate it. And I think, and I know you don't fall in this wheelhouse, doctor. It's not about money, even though money helps, but we have to care enough to get past that. Because it is spiritual. What is the root cause of you feeling the way you feel? And I think that's why it causes me some anxiety. And I'm not going to lie. It causes me some anxiety when I hear people say that, oh, it will be fixed. It will be fixed. Just take this, where it makes you feel like you are in another planet. Okay? Your mind is not even with your neighbor or even sitting there talking to your sibling, because your mind has been altered by medication to make you feel numb to the world. I'm sorry, but I'm full.
Okay. No, that's okay. That's
okay. Oh, no, you're doing good.
You're doing great. Hey, doctor, I think it was a spillover from Miss CeCe's kitchen. So you have to check her. You have to check her out. Doctor, you have to check her out on Thursdays because she set the kitchen on fire. She's on fire right now.
Yeah, bring a fire extinguisher and an asbestos suit if you're going to listen to that show.
We've been talking about the children with abandonment.
That's okay.
And foster parity and things like that, and a whole gamut of things. And I think, and doctor, and then I'll just leave this with this last statement, that I believe if people just fake actual facts of what's really going on, it is an agenda. It is designed to do us the way we do and have us to think and feel the way we feel. I can't get away from it. And people deny it and still walk around sick and talking about I'm all right. You can function, but all things as it appears is not as it seems. And as it seems, it's not as it appears. Just because I have a smile on my face don't mean I'm well on the inside.
Oh, my goodness.
I can dress it up and look good and take an aspirin, but I'm still tormented on the inside. What breaks the torment? I'm just throwing those questions out there. What breaks the torment? It has to be inner healing. My daughter said one time, it is an inside job.
Wow.
It's not how much money I can put in your wallet, how many pills I can swallow. It is a spiritual thing that has to be rectified. And I've said my piece.
Well said. Let's go to Mike.
Extremely well said. Yeah.
Mike has a comment. Then we're going to go to Danny and then Dr. Demery and then back to you. Well, you're going to intertwine a doc between. Okay. Go to Mike. Okay. Then Danny.
We have well burst at the seams here with the information. Woo. So mine's a pretty quick question here. So I'm reading from the CDC statistics, and I hate statistics because you don't know who wrote this statistic and what their bias is and all of that. But CDC says 1 out of 5 Americans suffer from mental health issues.
Come on.
So, doctor, I cannot believe that 1 in 5 of my, well, now I got some crazy friends like William, but yep. I cannot believe that 1 in 5 people legitimately suffer from mental illness.
The word is legitimate. Bogus. You said legitimate, right?
That's an agenda that's pushed by, like what Dr. Sims is talking about, by the powers that be. They're pushing this agenda, and I think a lot of people just maybe need a little kick in the butt instead of pills. So doctor, what do you got to say about that?
Well, let me speak in defense of the civil servants in CDC. They make no extra money by saying we're all crazy or many of us are crazy. So it's the function of how you define what is mental illness. And so they're not talking of the psychotic vagrant on the street who is having a psychotic crisis. Mm-hmm. But they're talking of people who can't sleep, who can't function at work, who have a disordered family life because of their mental situation. So if you add all of those borderline health, mental health problems, then you'll get to 1 in 5 of us with a mental health problem. Mm. Now, like I said before, the way we've ordered our society makes us prone to mental health problems. We are so much on the clock. You have to work this hard, you have to do this, wake up at this time and go to bed at this time. You don't have time for the family. You are doing two jobs to make ends meet. Well, where's the time to unwind? Where's the time for recreation?
And you know, time to raise your kids.
Time to raise the kids. When was the last time you were in the park? Taking a lazy walk in the park or playing lawn tennis with your kids or, you know, when last did you talk to your neighbor and just had a drink together while doing nothing? But we, even when we try to have to relax, it's relaxing against around the problem.
yes.
Right. Yes. And then going back to what Dr. Sim said, the way I see a lot of these problems, I say to myself, you know, we've all had some tight mental situations. Mm-hmm. And I say to myself, I don't see the whole picture. And this is where I get spiritual. I say, God sees the whole picture.
Oh my.
But I don't see the whole picture. All I'm seeing is this narrow problem that looks like the wall is closing on me. But God sees over the mountains that I can see.
Indeed.
And sometimes, in fact, almost all the time when I've been in crisis, the solutions never came from where I thought they were going to come from. So I kept on pursuing this solution. And then I just get a phone call from somebody who offers me something else that solves the problem. But when you're in that narrow focus on the problem, you're not seeing beyond, you're not seeing that you don't know anything. All you know is what you're seeing every day. And I say that's what the devil wants you to see.
Indeed.
So you're seeing the problems, you're not seeing any solutions. But even as we sit down in our various homes now, there's somebody deciding something, who knows where, maybe in Washington, maybe in London, that might affect our lives in the States. We were here, we didn't know someone was cooking something in China before we all went into COVID lockdown. And there was none of us who planned for 2 years of lockdown.
Right.
And it changed all our lives in many different ways. So when we are focused on the problem, we always should remind ourselves that you're not seeing the whole situation. All you are seeing is that your narrow focus, and that there's someone up there who sees the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to then step out of that narrow focus and say, you know what, I'm a child of God. He's not going to abandon me now. Wow. So I'm not going to just believe in only this narrow thing I'm seeing.
Wow.
Some solution will come from somewhere else, even if I don't see it. And that for me calms me down that, okay, there's a solution in the, you know, out there that I can't see. And if only I can trust that there's a higher power that's looking out for me, then I can live long enough to see that glorious day ahead.
Indeed.
And then we don't focus too narrowly on, you know, this naughty son of mine who's not, do you know what I want him to do? What am I going to do with him? And just let the poor kid will survive. Don't kill yourself on a naughty one you have.
Wow.
So my friend who's listening, and Jessica, I talked about earlier tonight, she just sent me a text. She says, society treats everyone with kid gloves now. There's no discipline anymore.
Indeed.
Any comment, doctor?
True. I totally agree with that. It's like when my kids will come back home with trophies for participation. Mm. Well, sorry. You didn't earn that, right? You need to go compete.
I'm so glad you said that.
Yeah, you know, if you're wrong, you get punished for being wrong. There's a consequence for every bad behavior.
Yes.
It doesn't mean I don't love you as a father to his son.
Right.
But you still get the consequence, and then we'll hug after that and then talk about it.
I'm so glad you said that. P- participation trophies. I mean, that is talking, the dumbing down and weakening.
Right.
Weakening of our society. Participate. Either you won or you didn't. Okay. Mm-hmm. In track, you got.
Buddy.
Yeah, that's right. Well, in track, you got the gold medal, the silver medal, and the bronze, right?
Right.
Well, yeah, you guys participated, but you don't get a trophy for it. Anybody outside of those? Come on, man. And you're right. The laming down, dumbing down of our society. And that goes back to something you said earlier, Doctor. And we were addressing the issue about AI and all of these other things that's taking the place of us being able to think for ourselves. And I can't emphasize that more. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a professor or anything, but it just makes sense to me. If I don't know how to count a 1 through 100 or whatever it is without a calculator, then I have a problem.
Mm.
Okay. Now, of course, I use AI for certain things. I'm going to tell you, when I get in my car and I want some navigation, yep, I count on AI because, oh, absolutely.
What?
Oh, yes, I do. Okay. But there's certain things I need to read a book. Okay. I need to do things on my own. I need to learn. I need to solve problems on my own. Give you a quick story. When I became a stockbroker, 20 some odd years ago, okay, we didn't use AI to pass those exams. Those are the toughest exams that I've ever passed in my life. But it took reading a book. It took reading a book and comprehending and understanding. And the way those tests were designed, they were designed so like all the answers seemed like they were right.
Mm-hmm.
But there was only one right answer. But we had to figure that out. And so we can't deprive our children and young adults and people that want to learn from those types of things. Okay? Dr. Demery, then Danny, and guys, this is, oh my goodness, I can't believe we're almost out of time. This is unbelievable. Danny, any quick comments, sir?
Did you want Dr. Demery to go first?
Yeah, I want you to go first, then we're going to Dr. Demery, Mike, Dr. Sims, then we're coming back to our good Dr. Oriende, or your Rende. I'm trying to get it right. I promise.
I'm fine with whatever you say.
No, sir. No.
Well, I feel so good to hear you, Doctor, to expound from a spiritual point of view also. Mm-hmm. And once we learn that the bitterness of life can only be sweetened by the intelligible spiritual matter that we have at a hand, that we can turn everything bitter and mix it with the sweetness of knowledge and mm-hmm. understanding and love and the spirit, then we can get through many hard times, which we as a people have been doing for many, many years.
True.
And we're a very forgiving group of people. And there are many non-colored, should I say, or non-black, that still are good people. But there are a lot of them out there that's not on both sides, brown,
yep,
or whatever. But when you get the spiritual understanding of who you are and connect with who made you, then you begin to gain wisdoms on how to overcome any obstacle that stands in your life. And thank you so much for your information, Doctor. And Dr. Sims, that was very good. I really enjoyed
it. Spot on. Dr. Demery, any last remarks, sir?
I have two things. I'll be brief. I believe there's a Greek phrase called hoi polloi. Matter of fact, we call hoi polloi. But hoi polloi means of the many. And I think because we are of the many, we are each individuals. We each have our own way of doing things. Mm-hmm. And, Mike's always talking about where's the money, trace the money. I can tell you this. I learned this from my uncle. I can be so happy without money. But if I got money, I'd be uncomfortably happy.
You know, come on.
The other thing is, some of my most spiritual moments, I know you may disagree with this, but you got to find what works for you. This is some of my most spiritual moments And thank God I live on an acre and a half of land out here in the countryside, is when I have a Cuban cigar and a glass of brandy.
Tell the truth now.
My pecan tree and just having a good time.
Man.
Horses next door to me and out in the wilderness and just having a wonderful time. That is my most therapeutic moment. It's my most spiritual moment. Now, Doc, I know you probably wouldn't advise me or anybody else smoking a cigar, but I'm telling you, to have a Cuban cigar is a spiritual experience. you have to find what works for you. That's what I'm trying to say. Each person has their own way of self-therapy. Yeah. Each person has their own way of developing a natural mental health. Because I asked my wife, who's a therapist, I said, darling, what does mental health mean? And what do you do as a mental health therapist? And she's right. Her phrase was, it is to be whole and to find wellness. And I think
yes.
And when we find our wellness within ourselves, yes, we need to go to the doctor. Yes, we need to do this. We need to do that. But you are well and you are whole and you are healthy, mind, body, and spirit. That's what it's all about.
Amen. Hey, Mike, Dr. Demery, I want some of those pecans. You got a pecan tree?
Okay.
I need to come over to your house.
You're going to have to ship me some of those.
I got an apple tree. I got a pear tree.
Oh, man.
I got corn. And I got a pomegranate. It's getting ready to get loaded up.
I need to load up and come on.
Oh, that's exactly right. I want some of those pecans, okay? Hey, Mad Mike. Hey, thank you so much, my dear friend. Mad Mike Wild World Coast to Coast. We're on each and every Thursday. And Doc, one thing about this show, because we try our best to promote happiness through music.
And to never be serious.
Yeah, we have fun.
We're not serious on Coast to Coast like this.
Well, this one was almost serious, okay? But on Coast to Coast, we are never serious on the Doc. We just have fun. We take time and be ourselves, and we try to do that through dialogue, humor, and good music.
Make people feel good through the music.
Doc, and we're going to just take a couple of minutes. Let's talk about what I want your opinion about laughter and music. And you mentioned something about taking time to yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, don't work, even though you guys may be successful and you're working 7 days a week, 12 hours a day and stuff like that, that's not healthy either. So we need to have time to laugh and have fun, dance and sing and music, good books, good friends.
Smell the roses.
That's right. Doctor, please give us your comment on that.
I totally agree. I mean, there's a whole literature on music therapy.
Uh-huh.
But even beyond that more formal approach to care, we all in our lives can have some music, some dancing. That's part of the exercise, right? You get to exercise. Mm-hmm. When you are listening to music, it takes your mind away from your everyday problems.
Thank you.
Sometimes you kind of sail away in the lyrics of the music.
Yeah.
And that's calming. That helps you to de-stress. So it's particularly important for our mental health.
Right. Yeah. Hey, doctor, now let me ask you, do you have any periodicals that the audience can read, or is there any contact information that you allow people to contact you? Is there anything you want to share with the audience before we exit?
Well, I have a website. That's my name. Essentially, it's www.drkoyeoyerinde.com. And that has a contact form there. If anybody wants to reach out to me, they can reach out to me on the contact form there. And it's also the website for my book. Because I wrote a book on, it's titled, Who Should We Let Die? That's the book.
Okay, repeat that.
Who Should We Let Die?
Ooh.
Wow.
Ooh.
Now that's deep.
Intriguing.
That's deep.
Well,
it is.
The title sounds jarring, but it's really just a memoir of my time working in global health and looking at how the healthcare system is failing us.
Okay.
Doctor, what is your background or your cultural background? Are you Nigerian or what?
Yes, I'm native Nigerian.
Oh, Baba, oh, Remy.
Yeah. Well, Doctor, I don't know whether you recognize the gentleman, because before you came on, I did this for a reason here. I played Yahweh by David G, and he's from Nigeria. Just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful music. Matter of fact, I think I will exit with one of his. Anyway, hey, Danny, quick comment, and then Dr. Sims.
I had my comment. I'm good.
Okay, Dr. Sims.
Well, I enjoyed you, Dr. Arinde. I think I said that right, didn't I? I hope so. It's close. But anyway, I enjoyed the interaction here. And I want to give my suggestion for my solace place. And I looked up the word because I love looking up where it means to comfort and consolation in the time of distress and sadness. So my solace place is, and I love jazz. I love what I do is I turn on. I love water. I should have been a fish. I love water. Okay. I love the sound of it. I love the sound of the breeze. So when I feel myself getting overwhelmed, I turn off everything. Mm. And on my television, I have where I see streams and I can hear the birds singing. And then I put on some soft jazz. Mm. It takes me totally away from this present world. Okay. So it helps me to relieve my mind. Mm-hmm. Off of things that relieve stress, because it's easy for, I don't care what position, where we're at, it's easy for us to fall into depression because the atmosphere is depressive, okay? Yeah. So it is what it is, and I'm a realist, and I don't go over, you know, my wheelhouse, because if I do, I'm an excited person, and William knows that. I get so excited. Yeah. I don't have PTSD. No, I don't.
She goes overboard sometimes, but that's okay.
Whatever. Your passive aggressiveness kind of takes me there. But anyway, that has to be dealt with. But anyway, I would love for you to join Miss Cece's Kitchen. We're right now, we're talking about the stressors that our children are going through. But we're also realists at the hands of adults. And so I believe that it needs to flip and getting them straightened out so that our children could have a little more mentorship even when they're parents. And right. So Miss Cece's Kitchen is aired on Studio W Buzz, and we're on at 4, as William announced it, at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we talk about the real in that kitchen, okay? We're controversial.
Yeah, I like buddy.
Just like whatever, Mike. Just
no, like, you do. You do. I love it. You
do.
You're
do.
Real.
Well, you know what?
You don't. Somebody, you don't pull your punches. You don't.
No, I don't. You know, especially when you have people who've been through things, and I won't go over my history. It's easy for me to address it because one of the things I hate, and it, that's really in my gut, is fake and phony people who act like they've arrived and been here and who suffers nothing. And so, so my thing is if we just be real and address the issue, I believe that's where the healing will come from. I have to walk to my pain, okay, to address my pain, because my pain has had a voice most of my life. And so when you address that pain, hit it head on, put where the pain lies, then the healing process can take care. It'll take care of itself and I can walk into healing. So my thing is, come on and join us sometimes. When you said the title of that book, I said, oh my goodness. I know it's going to be fantastic, but I thank you for the interaction, that you've had with us. I've learned a lot. I know you from, not in this state, but each culture, and I love studying cultures and how they address things, which is really enhancing this girl over here. In addressing, because we have this same problem all over the nation. Amen. Okay. And so we have to, I think with people like us, if we address these things, and I'm a head on person, I'm like a bull. I come with it.
Okay? Oh, that's true.
Don't sugarcoat nothing with me because I'll punch your hole in. Okay?
Oh Lord.
It is
okay.
What it is.
Okay. Well, actually Dr. Oriyende, he's in New York City. And if you guys want to, and if he will accept your invitation, I will talk to the doctor off air and connect you too, if that's okay with you, doctor.
Yes.
No, I used to be in New York. I'm in Akron, Ohio.
Okay. All right. Now it's still Eastern Standard, is it Eastern Standard Time Zone in Ohio? Yeah. Oh, excellent, right. Excellent. But Doctor, now what the panel doesn't know, I stole you from one of Ann's shows, right?
You sure did.
You know I sure did. Hey, that means I have good taste. That means I have good taste. That's what that means. All right. But anyway, Doctor, you have to come back.
I got a quick comment somewhere, William.
Yes, please. Go on.
Is that okay?
Yeah, please.
I agree with the doctor completely about there's three sides to us as humans. We have the body, mind, and soul. And that contributes to your health. So you have to make sure that you are up to speed on your body, your mind, and your soul. Those are important things. I seriously believe all that. And I know Dr. Sims does. I know the rest of the panel believes that as well. I think part of the problem that we have in our society is we have acceptance of a lack of performance. So, mm-hmm. William, you're talking early about everybody gets an award for just showing up.
Nope.
No. That's a lack of responsibility as far as performance. So, we are all judged on our ability to perform, and we should be. Mm-hmm. I think we should be because it makes us better people. If we fail and we fall down and we stub our nose or stub our toe, then we get up and we make ourselves better. Yes. The other thing I want to put out here is something you've all heard me say before is life, liberty, and the pursuit of your personal happiness.
That's right.
As long as you're not hurting yourself, or hurting others. And I think a part of society these days thinks it's okay to damage yourself physically in the pursuit of some kind of social, right. I don't know how to put it, but I think it's wrong to manipulate yourself or.
Yeah.
I'm searching
false adulation or whatever it is. And Mike, to piggyback on that, and you're right. It's just like,
please.
if you never failed at anything, I don't think that you could appreciate or maybe even make it, to be a success. I mean, because, think about this, because, when we come out to try things, I don't think we could do them perfectly each and every time. And I'm going to equate to something like, I'm going to give you like an athletic perspective. Let's say I'm on a baseball field, you know, and I missed that ball. Well, are you going to give me a trophy for just showing up? No, I need to learn how to catch that ball. And that's only going to make me better. So, folks, what I'm trying to say is takes a little work. Please go on, Mike.
And how's it okay for kids, in particular people that are under 18, to allow them to be self-mutilation, I guess, is the best term. You know, if you're going to be an adult and you want to live a certain lifestyle, great. That's fine. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of your own happiness. But for us to be, mutilating children and stuff, I've got a real problem with that. And that's for another show. But thank you for giving us this opportunity. Doctor, I hope you come back and talk with us again.
I look forward to it.
It'd be our pleasure. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been, we've gone over 10 minutes, but let's go. It's been well worth it. Doctor, it's been our extreme pleasure, and I'm speaking on behalf of our panelists here to have you on as our guest, and hopefully that you don't think that my panel, you know, are too out of control for you to come back.
You need to quit.
Yeah, we are, but it's a good thing.
So there you go. You know we're going to, especially me, I'm going to say something. So it is what it is.
I have fun with everyone.
Well, thank you, sir. Thank you so much. Danny, Dr. Demery. Yeah. Mad Mike and Dr. Sims, okay, thank you so much. And Dr. Oriende, it's been our extreme pleasure to have you on the Boomerang. And I'm going to play this by one of your fellow men out of Nigeria. This is David G. And so I guess, guys, please just hang around for about 4 minutes and check this one out because we can't do this and turn my life around. And hopefully this program can help in that regard, along with a strong belief system. I want to thank my panel. This has been the Boomerang Radio Show. Thank you all.
Great seeing everyone. Thank you.
This is David G. Danny. He's a bad boy. I like this. I like this a lot. Jehovah Elohim God. From January to December, in everything I do. Hey, Mike, this is real good.
Does it get gooder and gooder?
Gooder and gooder.
We glorify your name. I come and pour hallelujah, I pour. Ah, hallelujah, para. Hebu bendike, hey, hebu bendike, papa. Hebu bendike, daddy. Hebu bendike, sema motela tela nduba zaya. You turn my life around. Turn my world around.
My life around.
Miracle walking God, yeah. You are the wonder walking Papa, yeah. Hey, shame no death. You higher than the highest. You are my life around. And wider.
You've been listening to the Boomerang Radio Show right here on Studio W The Buzz. Dr. Demery, Mad Mike, Danny Tisdale, Dr. Sims, thank you so much. Excellent, excellent show. It's David G. Hey.
You mighty, mighty.
Turn my life around. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Hey, keep it locked right here. On Studio W The Buzz, your global radio network. Hey, we suckle this thing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week with the finest. The finest in broadcasting anywhere around the globe.
Thank you.